He wants me to hit a button. Hang on, where's Ram gone? Ram?
Yes.
Ah, there he is. Fucking hell, where'd you go? I was like, I broke it. He's gone!
I'm being like one of those monsters you get in a survival horror game. Just suddenly looms out the corner.
Yeah, but mate, once I see what you're going to do, it's not scary anymore.
That's why I change it every time. What he doesn't know is this. I'm not going through the stream on the restream anyway. It's a black screen on restream. You are there, but I am not.
I know you're back. Have you gone again?
Oh, there we go. I'm back now. I'm there.
Hang on.
No, I've gone again. I'm there.
What was causing that? What are you doing, Ram?
Well, I'm just going to check the audio.
It's your new magic trick, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what probably has happened today. I've been away this week. I've been farm sitting this week. But I took my rig with me.
As you do.
And I took my Wi-Fi card with it, or my Wi-Fi dongly thing.
I'm sorry for a minute there. My brain just went, you took your wife with you? I was like, wait.
Shh.
You took your PC.
Shh.
And your wife.
Shh.
Did you marry your PC and not tell me?
No, my wife lives on the farm. just up on the fields.
Not a nice woolen coat.
Or pig, you never know.
Well,
anyway, so so I took my rig with me, had it set up there, and I found the fact that I've got my phone, so I've got a 4G connection, which has been pretty good up there, because there's fuck all anyone around there, so there's a nice low contention ratio up there. So
out there, you are such a cunt.
What?
He goes out into a field and he's like, oh yeah, mate, I've got a fucking good internet connection. I know full well that your internet connection are high as shit, mate. But I've got a better connection than you. And it's like, I know.
Oh yeah, I get a better connection from the sheep field than you do.
It's true. He does, actually.
Yeah. My pigs have faster Wi-Fi between them.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I must have, like, Wi-Fi 7 Ethernet cards? Wi-Fi 7, what's it called? Antennas just jammed up their ass. Is that curly tail?
I say, you don't need to jam up the ass. The tail does all the work for you.
I go now, though.
There it is. So I've had to dismantle my PC, which means I've found out when I've come back, obviously had an opportunity to go through all the cables at the back and go, wonder what these do.
Oh, mate, you've had that mystery, have you? It's like, what was this for again?
Well, I decided to actually trace them all, and I managed to remove 5 cables that weren't plugged into anything, but were plugged into the PVC previously. So they did something at one point. I don't know what. My biggest surprise.
What kind of cables? Like just like USB or?
There was a USB cable, random sound cable. I'm not sure what that was. That was just like, I don't know why I plugged that in. I must have been drunk at the time.
Right.
Because it's an unused port on the sound card. I don't know why. Just random, you know, just usual random stuff. But I did find my biggest find was an old mouse that was still connected. My old mouse.
Do you not know there's a mouse connected to your PC?
Well, because it was dangling under, so it wasn't touching anything, so it's not giving any input.
So it was just just hanging down the back of your desk?
Yes.
What? Ram's like, I'm just going to tidy the desk. Push.
I plugged in my... That's the mouse with a dodgy... The button started double-clicking all the time. That you'd single-click and it'd double-click like 3 or 4 times. So I must have plugged in the new one, just pushed it off and left it down.
Yeah, you're done. I've had enough of you. Be gone. Yeah.
So I found that, retrieved that. And so, yeah. So if anything goes wrong, it's probably because that's probably why. Because I have unplugged everything and plugged it all back in again.
But you've taken away all your load-bearing cables.
Yeah, but it didn't mean I had a chance to neat it at the desk, neat it at the PC, so it's a bit nicer now. So that'll be why, if there's any problems, that's why.
Cheek. Yeah. And yet you're still running it through my machine. This podcast still goes through my machine with the jank internet connection.
Yeah. And you
even after the cables have been run, still a janky connection.
And you wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
Well, good evening, I'm Suffolk Ram.
Scazius.
And welcome to episode 223 of the Banners Podcast. I'm getting that in now because last time we forgot.
Yes. And actually, I had this great idea. I was like, I know exactly where I can cut this podcast to like take away about 2.5 hours worth of fat, right? I can fix this. And you're going to say, like, but the podcast was only about 2.5 hours long anyway. Exactly. I was just going to have the intro. Some, that was cool.
And then same outro music.
And that was it. Or, hi guys, this is episode, outro music. Done. Nailed it. Cut the fat.
What I should do for you, Skaz, is I should... But the fat gives all the flavour. What I should do, Skaz, is I should just like, I should like go 1, 2, 3, and you could just cut them and you can say, welcome to At Nerds episode 2, 2, 2. And I would never need to do an intro again.
Mate, I'm just going to get the AI to do it all.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That can run a podcast. I actually read through the script it generated for us, and I didn't realise quite how right-wing it went.
Well, that's why I said you had to tell it that we were white, straight.
Yeah.
Or that you had to, because if not, it wasn't going to be racist, sexist, or whatever enough. It needed to be really opinionated.
It was very rubbly opinionated. I was like, oh, I didn't expect to go quite like that.
Well, what did you expect? Well, how far did you expect it to go left-leaning?
Probably not a lot. I probably thought, what I should do is I should put liberal white male thing, then I probably would have pushed it back the other way a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Would you consider us left or right-leaning?
I consider myself quite left-leaning.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Ram. I don't know.
Well, for starters, I don't want to like murder black people, so that's a good start.
Don't you?
No. So that's a pretty good start. So then, on that regards, yes, I consider myself quite left leaning.
Well, so actually, on the terms I, of I so actually, as far I as actually, racism goes, Ram's left leaning.
I consider myself. Look, I like.
He's got no other examples. His brains went straight to racism.
Oh, you know, I believe, you know. Women can be anywhere, not just in the kitchen. You know, stuff like that.
I don't know.
This is why it's balanced, you see. You're the far right extremist and I'm the left-hand person.
Yeah, but you can't be that far left-leaning because you haven't glued yourself to the road yet.
Oh, no, I'm not an idiot.
No, you haven't gone that far left yet.
I'm not a stupid idiot, no. No, there's it's like everything, okay? Not enough water, you die of dehydration. Too much water, you drown. There's a nice middle ground to be in.
So what you're saying is we're kind of like swinging, what, centre left, centre right?
I consider myself sort of like, I'm definitely sort of like beyond centre left.
I've just always thought of myself as more centre. Centre. I'm an equal opportunity offender.
Yeah. This is my general philosophy in life. For other people, what you do in your life, I don't care. Yep. As long as you don't hurt other people, you know, you don't do something that hurts other people or stops other people being able to live their lives, I don't care.
You're good. So you do you.
Yeah, exactly. You do you. I don't care if you're what colour you are, what sexual orientation you are, what gender you identify as, I don't give a shit, frankly. You do you. Doesn't affect me. Why should it affect me? I'm not going to... That doesn't even come into my consideration when I make decisions with people. And my philosophy is, in whatever group there is, you have nice people and you have arseholes. Doesn't matter.
Agreed.
What group. There's no group has a free pass for that. You can be the... So
I don't. That's why I don't like people who say they represent a community.
Exactly.
Yes. It's like you can't. No, because you don't agree with
in
everyone.
In your community, there'll be some very nice people and there'll be some arseholes. That's true for all communities. So
just go down that list. Yeah, and you'll go right. Here's 10 things we all agree on. Now you either add on a new person or an extra thing on the list and just watch the whole thing blow apart. Because you can't please everyone.
If you want to use the Deus Ex Human Revolution quote, if you want to make enemies, try to change something. And that it's such a true quote. It's so
very true.
It's so spot on. You know, the amount of times I've seen groups disintegrate over the simplest thing.
Yeah.
I remember the religious war that happened at my local church when they decided to get rid of the pews and put chairs in. Mm-hmm. And people went absolutely... to the point where they had to have a arbitrator down to basically make a ruling on it for them.
Poor blimey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a church pew kind of guy. If I'm going to be in church, I want to be uncomfortable. Plus, those things are fucking great. They last forever.
Yeah, we've still got some if you want one. They've still got some.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, we can get your poo. We've got one in our back garden. Yeah, I'll ask. I'm sure there's still some up there. You can have one.
Fantastic.
They're quite long.
Mate, I love those things. Yeah. That broke my heart.
I like the poos. However, chairs are far more practical. And it meant the space could be used for a lot more stuff. And it's meant to be about being a centre of community, and that allows more community stuff to happen in it.
You have a fair point. But if I ever want to German suplex someone, German suplexing them into a chair isn't going to do a lot, because it'll probably just fold up. A pew will break someone.
We'll ship a poo in for that purpose for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. But that was, honestly, that went on about a year. It was amazing how people went on, and people got so obsessed with poos. The thing was, those poos weren't even like 100 years old. They were not even historical. They were like cheaply made, like 60 years, or, well, at the time it was about 60 years ago. It's now more like sort of 80 years ago. They're like just cheaply.
But that's still a good time, though, man.
It is, but they're not like. It's not like they're getting rid of like some original Da Vinci poos out of the church.
Blood of Christ was on those pews.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Christ himself sat in this poo. How did he sit there? Churches didn't exist when he was around. It doesn't matter. He sat there somehow.
Exactly.
He leant on the tree. He built it. He was a carpenter. He built that poo. He sat there, and Joseph goes along saying, "Ah, Christ, what are you doing down there?" And Christ goes, "Dad, I'm building this for the future, when the people have a building named after me." "Oh, Christ, you're getting a bit ahead of yourself there, my laddie." That's...
fucking...
All right. Dad, it'll happen, Dad. "Oh, well, it's good to have ambitions, my laddie." And off they went, and and he built the poo.
There you go. Now you know, history lesson with Suffolk Ram.
And now next time I walk into church, I'm going to catch fire.
Probably. Mate, I want to be there if I want to see it. I get your groove.
You've got to get through the doors first, guys.
I was saying to one of my mates a while ago, I am basically everything you say I am, right? Because you know how you can, like, every time you say something, someone disagrees with you, you instantly become... sexist,
yeah,
ableist, racist, ageist, homophobic, right? I was like, I'm everything you say I am, because I can't convince you of otherwise. You'll take one thing I say out of context, and all of a sudden, I don't know, I'm worse than Hitler, bigger than Christ, you know? But I then thought, so I said to my mate, I'm going to put it on all my profiles, along with my, top quality anti-content. And he was like, "You can't put it up there." And he was like, "Why?" He says, "Do you honestly think they're going to let you put that you're sexist, racist, homophobic, all that on your profile?" I was like, "You have a fair point. I'll come up with an acronym." And within about 30 seconds, just one night it came to me. I was like, sexism, ableism, racism, ageism, homophobia. Those are some pretty solid ones. Shit! I've just said it. I ain't got time for Sarah. And so that now goes on my profile. Because I know I can't please everyone. Did you know, by the way, just as a note, everyone, just so you know, at least at the time of recording, this is I can't remember what the actual one is. Wheelchair Awareness Month or something. Disability Cripple Awareness Month or whatever it is, right?
It's International Tiger Day, I can tell you that much.
Is it?
Yeah.
Happy Crippled International Tiger Day or whatever it is.
I don't think it's a combined one.
Well, it is now, so someone go find a tiger and give it a good boot. But don't, because they're quite cute. Could you imagine it? It's like, rubbing up a little tiger. Oh, you're so fucking cute.
And then it eats you.
Try take a selfie.
It's not going to end well.
Well, it's like it's, I got it's, in trouble
It's like people who try and get selfies with like the bison in like Yellowstone. They end up getting killed.
Yeah, don't do that. No. Don't do that. See all the wild animals out there. They will kill you.
I read a story. It was in a newspaper. So take this as true as you want, but it's believably true. It may not be true, but it's believable. And apparently, there is a tourist in a national park in America. There's an American tourist in a national park in America, and she thought it'd be really. There's some bears around that become used to being near humans.
Go take a selfie with a bear.
No. This is all before camera phones and stuff like this. All like just doing all photos. And she thought it'd be really cute to have the picture of a bear licking her daughter's hand. So she covered her daughter's hand in the food, got towards the bear, held it out, and the bear bit her hand off.
Yep. I can see that.
I could believe that. I could believe. So, wouldn't it be cool? Hold your hand licked like a dog would. Oomph. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So here's the crazy thing, right? Any really fucked up thing you could possibly imagine, chances are it has actually happened at some point in history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, oh, mate. Like, so just going back to the whole ain't got time for Sarah thing, right? Because it is... Whatever, I think it's only an American thing, the Disability Awareness Month or Ableist Awareness, whatever it is month. Something to do with raising awareness for disabled people, which, let's be fair,
I can see
every disability is different, so you can't, don't lump these people into these groups, for fuck's sake. Do you not understand? This doesn't work. Mm. Because what was last month? Pride Month?
May's Pride Month, isn't it?
No.
I thought May was Pride Month.
No.
Let's have a look.
What's May? Look it up. Quickly. Quickly, Ram, come on.
I'm looking at Pride Month. It's quicker.
Oh, for God's sake. No. What month is May? May.
Why is
it's
this
the
not
fifth
working?
One. What do you mean, why is it not working? What's not working?
My web browser just went all weird.
You just typed in Pride and it just had a seizure. Get away from me!
Oh, no, you are right. It is June.
Yes, now that, which is annoying to me. But just in case anyone doesn't know, right? Pride Month. There's the L's, the G's, the B's, the T's, the Q's, the I's, the A's, and the rest of the alphabet, right? Believe it or not, they don't have things in common, really, other than the fact that they don't like banging straight people, right? Or whatever.
Objection. Bisexuals.
What, to the Bs? Yeah, but the Gs and the Ls don't
and
trust the Bs.
Transsexuals might bang straight. Transsexuals might.
Ah, fuck them.
Right. Well, if you want to do that, then no.
Right. They don't like whatever the thing is they don't like, right? So an L ain't going to go and sleep with a G. A G ain't going to sleep with a what's it called? None of them trust the Bs. The Ts, the Qs, I can't remember the rest of the alphabet. Right? Those are ideology things. And the first three are like sexuality things. Right? One of them's more fluff. One side's more fluff. And the other one's more just let's get on with it. Right? They don't mesh. It's like oil and water. Right? It doesn't go. And it's the same with disability, right? A blind guy isn't going to feel the same way about disability as, say, a deaf chick or some poor bastard that's lost an arm and a leg, right? It's different. They're all different, okay? You can't... it just doesn't work. Stop it. Either way, I had a beef about it. I got really aggro about it when I found out because I can't stand stuff like that. I really can't. And I made a comment, which was around the same time I came up with the Ain't Got Time for Sarah thing. And my God, the flack I got. Saying that I was ableist. And all sorts. It's like, okay. I was like, even disabled people rip into each other all the time. Mm. could you guys just, you know, pull the stick out your backsides, please? I mean, you might enjoy it, but just for this one moment, just pull the stick out for a minute so we can focus on something other than the stick and have a conversation. But yeah, either way. Oh, yeah. Just a quick note on all that as well. You don't have to agree with someone to be able to have a conversation with them.
Indeed.
Okay, you don't have to agree with everything that someone says to be able to be a mate with them and help them and hang out with them and all that kind of stuff. Just don't.
Yeah.
So let's all be calm. Let's all be friendly. Maybe. And yeah, let's all just be thankful that we're not on Twitter.
Yes.
Or power users on Reddit.
Yes, yes, the hardcore Reddit users, you know, you're, leave us casuals out of it.
Yeah, look, mate, I'm just a casual, somewhat leaning person. I don't know what direction. I don't care. Just leave me out of it, man. I'm too casual for this politics thing. Just let me go. Again, I've got life to live.
Again, all that sort of pride and stuff that falls into the, it doesn't affect me. I'm not worried about it.
Sure.
Status, you know. You want to have a mouth about it? Fine with me. It doesn't bother me. What I don't like is corporations using it as a free publicity to play lip service. They don't really. They don't really mean it.
Of course not. Second Pride Month is over. All the flags and all that go straight in the bin.
Yeah, exactly. That's when a corporation just does it just to basically they sell it. Air quotes, I'm putting air quotes here, celebrating pride in the sense that you're celebrating pride because you think it might increase your profits.
Yep.
Not because you actually, you don't walk the walk, sing the song, and that sort of thing. You don't think, that's what I don't like about it. But as a month in jail, doesn't bother me. Absolutely fine. Doesn't worry me.
Remember that sound we were all taught as a kid? I assume everyone's taught it as a kid. Treat others as you expect to be treated.
Yeah.
That's it. How hard is that?
Yeah. Just treat someone with a bit of respect as they are. You know,
manners cost nothing. What Muhammad Ali said? Go on.
I say manners cost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And just treat somebody just treat them as a human being, you know, a person. Yeah. And doesn't matter who they love, doesn't matter how they identify, doesn't matter what curse skin, doesn't matter what genitalia they've got down there, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't even matter what way they're leaning, as long as they're not hurting anyone.
Exactly. As long as they're not, treat them as another person that you can have respect with, and so forth. And as long as they're not, if they're assholes, you don't have to associate with them.
Sure.
And the asshole is a separate scale to everything else.
Yep.
Like they don't go hand in hand. So, anyway,
sometimes during Pride Month.
Well, as you get arseholes in every group, so technically there'll be some arseholes in there.
Hey, you said they don't go hand in hand. I mean, it depends.
Yeah.
Depends what you like to grab.
My thought is that if someone is X, they are automatically Y.
Mm-hmm.
Y gets to go hand in hand. It could be. X could also be Y, but Y does not mean they will be Y. So just because somebody is... You know, just because somebody is a retired 80-year-old white male doesn't automatically mean they're going to be a racist bastard.
Agreed. It's true.
So, you know, just see that what you... So you can't assume stuff. But it's a bit like whenever someone sees an old person, they call them, white boomer, and it's a derogatory term, really.
What was that? What was the other one as well? Don't judge a book by its cover. Like, are we just throwing these all out? Oh, Ram's dead. Common sense has killed Ram.
I'm alive again.
Oh, welcome back.
Sorry.
You didn't go anywhere near the church. I was worried then.
No, it's a curse finally getting to me.
I was like, what? This is like that scene out of Good Omens. Like, what did he do? He told people to be kind to one another.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, that'll do it. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's the Muhammad Ali quote, and I can't remember exactly, but something like, you know, I don't trust anyone that's nasty to like the waiting staff or whatever, because I know that they'd be just as much of a cunt to me if I was in the same situation.
Agreed, absolutely agreed. Watch how people treat others, and particularly particularly how they treat those who are...
Who they believe to be under them.
Yeah. Who are in... Don't take this out of context, but in effect, when you go to a restaurant, you are in effect paying the staff indirectly. You are paying staff, so you are expecting a certain degree of service,
yeah,
and so forth. However, that does not mean you don't give you carte blanche to be an arsehole to them.
Agreed. They're just doing a job.
As someone who works in retail. When I have a customer, the customer wants XYZ, I'll get XYZ for them. They buy the product, which eventually goes to me, which pays my wages. So of course I'm going to do what I need to get. So I'm not going to just like go, oh, it's over there, sort out yourself, twat, because that won't work. But if they're an arsehole, and I'll just tell you, this is another little trick to anyone out there. If you're an arsehole to service people or service staff or anything like that, you're not going to get a good deal. I don't mean like they say you're going to get money off or something like that, but I mean like they're not going to go any extra for you because you're not they. Why would they? You know, if you have an issue with something, it's all gone wrong and stuff, and you go ranting and shouting, they're going to be the bare minimum they can to get rid of you.
Yep.
If you've had a big problem and you're like friendly about it, you chat about it, you talk to them about the issues and so forth, people will go. Beyond themselves to sort stuff out for you, to get it right for you.
Yeah.
My second point I want to raise is something that I've sort of like become more aware of the last few years, a sort of philosophy that I now have to adopt is your average person, and now what you think, every time something goes wrong, this is what we want to think about. Your average person doesn't go up and go to work and think, today I'm going to fuck up someone's day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make someone else's life miserable. I'm just going to do the worst possible job I can. People don't. People, when they go to work, there's going to be exceptions because there always are. Most people, when they start a job and go to work, they want to do a good job.
They want to get through the day with as little trouble as possible.
Exactly. They want to do a good job. They might do the bare minimum they need to get the job done, you know, but as long as they do it, you know, fine. That's all they're being paid for. That's why I had the term quiet quitting, which is a term that really shouldn't exist. So if something goes wrong, don't assume people weren't competent, don't assume it was malice, just assume that someone had a bad day, they made a mistake. Yep. People are human, they make mistakes. Recently I had my car repaired, some work done on it, and I saw a couple of days later I noticed they put the tyre on the wrong way round. My tyres have some tyres are mirrors, they can go either way round, but most have a certain way they have to be to grip and so forth. And notice they put them all the way round. So rung them up and said, well, actually they rang me to be offended as a courtesy call, luckily. I said, you put my tyre on the one round, I've now got to go get it changed. I'll bring it back. So I brought it back and they were like, very apologetic. But I said, look, I'm sure that person didn't intend to put the tyre on the one round. So I tend to blame, when things go wrong, I tend to blame systems that are in place. Because systems been put in place didn't catch that. Somebody signed off that after the person put the tyre on, somebody signed that vehicle off to say it was fine to go out. So that's another that's another step of the chain that missed it. What happened? And what I think happened, speaking to the person, was they are swamped with work and they are under pressure to get stuff done as quick as they can. Yep. And when that happens, people skip things or they don't notice things.
Only takes a moment of distraction.
Exactly.
And, all it takes.
And the solution to that is you put sort of extra checks and balances in place to try and stop that. And that's what you need to do. That's what you just put in place and try and sort of perfect your systems and your procedures to try and stop these things happening. That's what you need to do. But don't blame individuals when it goes wrong. So when something goes wrong, the person you're speaking to, it's not their fault.
Yep.
They didn't try to do this. When people have I've always said this before as well. I say I work in retail. If I fuck up something and a customer's annoyed with me and angry about it, actually I don't mind because I fucked up.
Yeah.
It's I pride myself on not fucking up. And touch wood, I very rarely do. I pride myself on that. Because I do tend to take a bit longer, a bit more thorough and so forth, and I'm a bit slower than some other people, but I don't generally make mistakes.
Sure.
However, when something happens that's outside my control and someone gets asked with me, that really winds me up, because let's say all the time for a customer and it doesn't get delivered because the delivery companies, you know, couldn't get out for whatever we messed
up. That's out of your control.
Out of my control. People get pissed off at me. There is nothing I can do about that. There's absolutely nothing that I can do. So people will say to me, oh, I'm sorry, I take my frustration out on you. Well, don't take my frustration out on me. You shouldn't take it out on me.
If you understand, you shouldn't do it anyway.
Exactly. That's not an excuse. Oh, I'm sorry to take my frustration on you. That's not an excuse. You don't take it out on me. When I have an issue, something gets, doesn't, you know, when it's happened to, when the other side of the coin happens and company sent something doesn't get delivered, when I ring up and speak to them, I'm friendly with them. Take it out on them, because they haven't screwed up.
Yeah.
The system has screwed up. Somewhere along the line, something has gone wrong. And it could be like the company's overworked. Those sort of things could happen. So, no, there's no excuse to be rude. Unless that person has deliberately done it to naught, to what, deliberately gone out of it to wind you up. In that case, they're an arsehole. And they should be working there. But just treat salespeople a bit kind, as they are only human. And it's not their fault when things
go wrong. Let's be fair. If it weren't for the minions, and I don't mean that in a nasty way, if it weren't for the people who everyone else looked down on doing their jobs,
yep,
half of us couldn't do, well, fucking anything, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do if all the shelf stackers at Tesco's and Asda and all that decide, you know what, fuck you, yeah, we're not doing our jobs? Well, you don't go into a shop and buy your food, right? Yeah. Same with places like Mickey's and all that. Like, I've... folks, family have worked in fast food and that, and I've seen pregnant lassie have milkshake just poured right over the top of her head just because one of the customers got raggy with her. The I don't know, something was missing from the order. She weren't even the one serving up, but they just poured the drink over her. You know, look, at the end of the day, if these people didn't do their jobs, you wouldn't be able to go to Mickey's and order your food. You know, you wouldn't be able to go to you know, Asda, Tesco's, you know, Aldi, Lidl, whatever, and go and buy stuff, go to Curry's or whatever and buy stuff. If it weren't for the delivery guy bringing stuff to your door, you'd have to go out and do it yourself or source it yourself. Show some respect to these people. They're the wee cogs that make the rest of the machinery go.
Yeah. Well, look at lockdown.
All you do is stack a shelf. So, yeah. They're stacking a fucking shelf so that it's easy for you to go in and get what you want. Yeah.
Remember lockdown when we decided who were the essential parts of society.
Yep.
And it wasn't the lawyers. They were set up working at home.
Yep.
You know, laws are needed, but the actual essential people getting things on the shelf, you know, getting food out there, making stuff works.
It's always the people that most people look down on. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Treat these motherfuckers with a bit of respect. They're just trying to do their job, live their lives just like fucking you. They're providing you with a service.
Yeah.
Chill the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I come up with a quote. There's a quote from, of all places, BioShock. Basically, one person's talking and he says, yeah, when they brought all the artists and the scientists and all the people down, all the sort of like sort of intellectuals down here to do stuff, they didn't think at first, who's going to be fixing the plumbing? You know, who's going to be doing all the stuff that needs to be done to keep them people working and living the life they want to live?
Yep.
And you need those people.
Do you know what's really funny? People will play those games and they'll hear those messages and then just completely put them in the bin.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that'll just go right over their head.
Yeah.
Just say, well, I'd never think that. And then go down to, you know, Burger King and spit at one of the employees or something. It's like,
yeah.
Just chill the fuck out.
I think
guys.
A lot of people who played Bioshock completely missed the point of the philosophy behind it, how shite it was, and how stupid it was, and it basically pointed out all the flaws in it and why there are, because it's all about there's no regulation, there's no government oversight, nothing at all, just do what you want. And they suddenly felt, and it all goes horribly wrong. And people sort of got the message of actually there's a reason why there is often government oversight for things. There's a reason why there are random legal laws over certain things. It's really, why do we have, we shouldn't need consumer laws, but we have to have them.
Well, once upon a time, weren't there a thing during like World War II they were putting, was it formaldehyde in troops' food?
Maybe. I've not heard of
the Americans.
I've not
heard of that. Or it might have been World War I. It was like really early on, they weren't regulating food.
Oh, there was a...
Certain areas in food processing.
Oh, you're...
And it turns out they were shipping over gank meat.
I think there was a famous book called The Jungle. And it was written, and it was basically written, I think it was the early 1900s it was written. And it was basically talk about the plight of people who work in meat production.
Yeah.
As in, like, who produce the meat and so forth.
Yeah.
And the author wrote it as a, basically to say, look how shit these people live. You know, look at how shit it is.
Yeah.
Trouble is, the stories you put in there, such as like somebody falling into a rendering vat where they rendered out all the material stuff and just being left and they end up becoming part of the product, you know, that sort of stuff. People didn't take the message about, look how bad people being treated. They took the thing, my God, what's going into my food? And that created the food, it basically formed the base of their food. I don't know what they call it over there. We have the food standards, but they're equivalent of, it's all started the basis of that and requirements and stuff. They got the wrong message. I mean, both were bad, but they got the wrong message. It's maybe about how, look how shite we treat people. And I think people just don't... I think there is a certain incredible disconnect.
Not your problem.
Yeah, it's not your problem. And to be fair, we're all slightly guilty of it. If anyone owns a smartphone...
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Or Ashford, any
fucking cobalt cover for the batteries.
Any electronics.
Chinese labour.
Yeah, you know, where anything that's any modern-day electronics you own, well, I hate to break it to you, but there are people being paid pennies to make that.
Yep.
So...
it's the same with all the people, just what throw out there for all the people who are like going out there like, oh, mate, I'm well green. Look at my electric car and all this kind of stuff. It's like, look, the trick is... not to buy things from green companies. It's what was it? What's the R's? Reduce, reuse, recycle. It should be reduce first.
Yep.
Reuse old kit.
Yep.
Recycle. Not recycle first.
Well, recycling.
That's the least efficient of the
yes,
three.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely right. So
you know, and if you've got one of your rocking green cars, fantastic. But just remember where all those materials came from. Yep. And who put it together, you know? Yeah. You're offsetting your carbon footprint by pushing it onto somebody else.
But then we've done that for decades anyway. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's a tough one, though, because overall, as a overall society in general, it's better. But there's still people being shat on as a result of it. And you'll never stop being people shat on.
So, not because someone else wants more money.
It's more about...
And jobs also need to be done.
And it's also about making it something affordable.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Someone needs money and jobs need to be done. You want your thing, someone's got to do the job.
Yeah. And they could, you know, put all the extra regulations and stuff in to protect it, but...
But then it's going to cost you a fortune.
And then also...
An iPhone's already $1,000. Do you think Apple's going to pay... do you think Apple's going to take that loss on profits, or do you think they're going to up the price to pay those people a decent wage?
Yeah.
And if they do up the price, will you pay it? I doubt it.
I'm just going to say we've had a first-time chat from Mrs. Coffee Dodo, or Dodo maybe. Hi. Hi, Mrs. Coffee Dodo.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. So.
What a rant.
Shall we go on to actually some games now, Skaz?
Sure, just remember, I ain't got time for Sarah. Good job.
So, I'm guessing your internet's still deadly.
Mate, don't get me started. So I had a bunch of cables run. Don't get me wrong, I didn't have cables run very well. I wanted it done as simply as possible because I don't own this house. And we had to have some work done to the walls. And I asked the builders and the landlady, like, hey, would it be okay if I just, like, rather than you know, because what I do is take a, like, put a trench up the wall and then put the wires in the wall.
Mm.
Right? But that's a lot of work. And it's a lot of, like, replastering and all that kind of stuff. And
if your wire gets damaged.
Yeah. But, so what I decided was, like, hey, everything has to kind of start at the corner that I sit in here. Okay? This is a very old house, like 1905. Yeah. There were, boats didn't have radios in them at this point. Right? So, we weren't thinking about, you know, how well signals were going to be going through and around houses. Right? Wi-Fi. Kids, believe it or not, there was a time before Wi-Fi. Right? So, I can't get internet around my house. And I was like, well, everything has to start here in this corner anyway, because this is where the phone line comes in. What we'll do is we'll set up an access point in the kind of most used rooms. If it has to come from here, we'll put one wire through the wall up into my eldest's room, one up the wall and into my son's room at the backmost room of the house. And then we'll have another one go out and straight along the garden so that where my wife works, she can have the internet. And then if needed, we'll use wireless bridges to connect the front rooms to the house because, you know, signal will literally drop by half just walking from one room to the next in this house, if you even get signal at all.
Yeah.
So I got it all set up. Not quite as nicely as I'd have liked. As I said, I'd have liked to have had, you know, not trenches, but you know what I mean. Put in the walls to run the cables and actually have them terminated into proper sockets and stuff. But not my house. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of work. Do it simple. Okay, just straight out the wall, straight to where it needs to go, back in, job done. Cat 6, you know, waterproof UV, UV whatevered, great. Because the idea we're using those Wi-Fi extenders, the problem with those is, well, Wi-Fi is susceptible to interference. If you don't get a decent, you know, strength signal to start with before the repeater, the repeater isn't really going to do a lot. You know, if you don't put it where you get half signal, you put it just on the edge of where you get full signal to extend. However, because of the way Wi-Fi handshakes work, they're constantly communicating with each other. If there's any interference, a connection could drop or packets can be lost. Data gets screwed, basically. Not ideal. So, get it all done. Not particularly clean. There's plaster blown out everywhere, but the kids have now got internet. This room's got internet. I put a Wi-Fi bridge in the front bedroom, but as soon as my son start hammering that Wi-Fi bridge, the one that I'm connecting my spot to, the connection in the front of the house just completely falls to pieces.
Well, stop hitting it with a hammer and just use it as it's meant to be used.
Yeah, no, but you try sound. Let's put it this way, mate. As soon as I put the Wi-Fi, the hotspots, the access points in their rooms, my youngest son instantly went, huh. Cable. That connection. Looks familiar. Wireless access point. Thump, unplugs it. Plugs the cable directly into his laptop.
Good man. Good man.
Wired straight in. I was like, you motherfucker. But see, that's the other reason why I didn't want to do bridges.
I say, do you're using just a normal access point with a, which can be used as a switch as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not directly connected to like another network cable?
So that's what I've gone and done now. So I ended up buying more cable after having this first set installed, but I don't want to drill any more holes in the wall. And I was thinking to myself, what I need is a 10 or 20 meter cable, job done. I ordered two 10 meter cables. I was supposed to order one 20 meter cable, and the cable that I bought now barely reaches because I didn't want a daisy chain access points.
No.
I wanted to go from the source down here. What I've ended up doing is I've got a cable now going from my eldest son's room, which is in the middle of the house directly above me, to the front bedroom. But as I said, that cable's not quite long enough to go to where it needs to go neatly, like around the edges of the walls and stuff. And we've got those, what are the metal things called that go between doors when you've got carpet that kind of ends
thresholds.
And then those. So and it's just like this metal bit, you've got your carpet, metal bit over the top, to cover the edge, and then that kind of overlaps the other edge of the carpet.
Threshold strip, yeah.
Yeah. You can't put wire over those because when the door shuts, it clamps on it. Mm. And I don't want to damage the doors. I don't want to drill any more holes in the walls. The cable is barely long enough and it gets caught on one of the fucking doors. So I'm just like, so we've only now got somewhat decent internet in, let me think, 1, 2, 3, 4 rooms in the house. There's still plenty of places where you can't get internet in this house. And I'm sick and tired of Wi-Fi. I'm sick and tired of having to run cables. It's messy. I hate messy cabling. You know? It's great that it's functional, but it's messy. I don't mind a bit of mess, but like if someone's going to trip over it, there's a problem, right? So things aren't going great. I only managed to get that flat cable laid today, and it's not done very well. So I've not done anything.
Fair enough.
Like I say, as soon as my kids start hammering the internet, as soon as like, yeah, download some games on Steam, I'm screwed. I haven't been able to do anything.
Oh dear.
It's great. You, internet.
So to make Scad feel better, while he lives in the middle of a town, a fairly large town, you know, not like in the sticks, and he's been having terrible network games. I've been in a farmhouse, you know, 10 miles from anywhere, but I've been having a wonderful time playing on Steam, and and I've been playing Ghostwire Tokyo.
Dick. Just as a quick note as well, why do you just use cellular data like RAM then? Because you can't get a phone signal in my fucking house either.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi doesn't work. The fucking phone certainly ain't going, dude.
I mean, I was streaming like HD YouTube videos on my cellular data.
Mate, I can't even take a fucking phone call on cellular data in this house.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Well, it's great if you want to be like Edward Snowden and not take calls, right? You don't need to stick your phone in a microwave, just leave it on my desk. It'll never ring. So Ghostwire, mate. I'd seen this a while ago. Gorgeous, but I don't quite get the groove of it. Like, so what's the groove, man?
So, yes, I think it came out 2020, I think.
It was something around the time of Cyberpunk, wasn't it? There were two very pretty kind of neon-y games.
Yeah, let me just see when it came out. 2022, apparently.
2022?
I didn't realise it was that
late?
Release.
No.
With PS5 Windows, March 25th, 2022. I didn't realise it was that recent. I honestly thought that was like 2-3 years old.
Honestly
thought it was that old. My thing's gone again on the stream. You're all a bad gun.
Oh, I think I know what that might be.
What?
So I think I just what did I just open that made that break? Oh. That's weird. That's a new problem. So I need to have Discord pretty much front and center. Otherwise it blocks your okay, cool.
Okay. I get you. Fair enough.
It's my fault.
So, it's not quite a first-person shooter. It isn't a first-person shooter, although it has got a bow and arrow in it. So, it's a first-person sort of RPG-like action game where you are now, I can't pronounce his name. I think it's Akito, I think it's pronounced. I think.
How do you spell it? A-K-I-T-O?
A-K-I-T-O, yes. Akito. So basically, this shot my sister today, right? I said to her, it's Ghostwire Tokyo. She goes, oh, right. I was telling her all about it and so forth. And I was telling her about what's going on. She said, oh, is it set in Japan? I said, it's called Ghostwire Tokyo.
Well, you say that because I had the same kind of laugh when one of my mates was telling me about the old Battlefield games, like Battlefield 1940, whatever it was, like 42 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so go on, what time period do you think it is? I was like, I ain't even going to fucking guess. And he's like, what are you talking about? I've just told you what time period it is. I go, mate, I remember playing Might and Magic, and I think it was around Might and Magic 6. All of a sudden, we went from medieval to fucking aliens in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't guessing.
So, sound token, the game starts where he's basically had a phone call from his... It's him and his sister. And this is stuff, stuff we find out fairly early on. Him and his sister, she's had an accident. And she's been injured in a fire. And is currently in a critical state in hospital. And the game starts him getting a phone call basically saying, you know, you need to get to the hospital. So he races through Tokyo on his motorbike and he's not really paying attention to what's going on. And he ends up having a head-on collision with another truck and ends up basically on the ground dying.
Did you say motorcycle?
Yes.
Truck?
Yes.
Dead.
Right, van, yeah. So he starts the game, he's dying at the start of the game, right? At the same time, there is the game switches to a point of view of this other sort of like disembodied spirit and looks to possess a body and it tries to possess a Norhun and it's like, oh no, he's still alive. And he finds Akito and zooms into him and tries to take him over. Mm-hmm. But he's not, trouble is Akito wasn't quite dead. He's very close to the point where if the spirit was to leave him, he'd probably die. But he's not quite dead. Or at least that's what it says at the start. The spirit says, if I leave you, you're going to die. Because he's the thing. And the spirit basically says, look, I need your body. I've got a really important shit to do. And he's like, no, I want to go see my sister. And they have a little bit of an argument. And then all hell happens. This strange fog floats through Tokyo and anyone caught in it instantly disappears. Gone.
Ah.
Their clothes fall to the ground. And what's basically happening is the fog is basically, or seems to have basically instantly turned into their sort of spirits and souls.
Mm-hmm.
Left behind, and at this point, this basically guy in a creepy demon Hannah mask, I think it's pronounced, appears. He's on the cover. You look at the picture on the cover. That's him. Henya. On there. Henya, yeah. You can see my knowledge of Japan is really great here. he appears, and he basically starts sort of like combined spirits come to him and sort of like come and help him, and he's going to sort of like, you know, do bad shit. And basically, Akita then starts finding, he now finds he's, has been drawn with the spirit. He basically now has some spirit powers. So he can basically, he doesn't so much use weapons, but uses like spells. So I suppose you could call it a first person speller. So it's an FPS still.
Right.
And basically, he casts spells, like sort of waving his arm band. He's got three sort of based on spells. He starts off with wind, which is like a, which is a bit like
it's
a rap.
It was a bad Saturday night curry.
Yeah. It basically is like a normal gun, like a machine. So it's basically like your normal sort of machine gun type thing. It has fire sort of bolts, or you can charge up. And if you charge it up and then release it. So charging up doesn't take any more ammunition. You have like, so if you have like 30 points, you start the game, you can only hold like 30 rounds of ammunition, as it were, in your clip. Or magazine, sorry. And if you fire off one shot, it's fine. But if you charge up first, it still uses just one shot. But that all initially starts with firing like sort of a guided bolt at somebody. But then you grade everything up to like four. And they'll sort of like, if you keep your reticle on the enemy, they'll sort of fly to him and guide to him and latch onto him.
Yeah.
A bit later, you unlock fire, which is basically the rocket launcher. Fires these balls that have a bit of an arc to them, so it's more like a sort of a grenade launcher probably that explode and do damage over an area. And then you also unlock water, which is like a close up, does a lot of damage, but very close up, sort of like your sort of long mid-range melee attack, because it kind of does a wide arc as well, so you'll like do like sort of like a 8-meter arc in front of you as well if you charge it up.
All right.
And he's fighting because when the spirits are in the world starts getting visited by these people they call visitors. And visitors are, they're not like demons or spirits. What they are, they're like beings that are pulled, created through like sort of heightened emotions. So the first guy you meet is this like slender man like dude in a suit with an umbrella. And apparently he's created like through the monotony of work. People get really bored and mostly the work and it's been a strong motion, so bored, creates this visitor. It's like sort of that you can sort of feed off it. And you encounter a lot of those because, you know, Japan, Tokyo, lots of people doing lots of work to death, as it were. And so you get lots of visitors. There's also ones who are like based, the second ones you meet get based on like school children. So they'll be like based on sort of anxiety of school girls and school boys. And they're like sort of these ones that sort of like, they're very quick. They can run up to you. They do like sort of like typically sort of anime protagonist stuff. They sort of like do flying kicks at you and sort of cartwheel towards you and sort of sure. try. You know, it's quite amusing. What I also like is there was also a point where the people directing this game said, we probably really shouldn't have the main character beating up school children. Yes, they are demon school children, but he's still beating up school children. So let's cut their heads off. So they're all headless. So they just okay. they've got the sort of like, you know, because they've got sort of that sort of Japanese schoolgirls uniform or schoolboys yeah. uniform on, but they've got no head, which makes doing a headshot on them very difficult.
They're fair game.
At that point, they're fine. You know, that's all right. They're not really children at that point, so you can be them to your heart's content. So you have your first account of these visitors, and then you make your way towards the hospital, and then you find the bag dude is basically taking your sister because he's like, he's going to try and sort of use some ritual to basically do something bad involving the afterlife and spirits and ghosts. And you and your possessed person, a chap called KK, who's also a spirit, decide to sort of team up to rescue your sister and also to stop the guy. Your goals align at that point.
Sure.
So it's quite a fun game. It's a bit different. It's heavily based around Japanese folklore. Obviously set in modern time, but it basically treats all Japanese folklore as real. All sort of like I'm going to use the word demons because they have a different name called
Yokai,
thank you. This is something else I really like, what I do like about the game. By default, when you start the game, it is subtitled Japanese dialogue.
Thank fuck
it
for
does,
that.
It doesn't. Well, pretty much any other game would just automatically switch over to English. You can switch to English dialogue. There's an English dub for the characters if you want to. Mm-hmm. But the game itself, by default, is all subtitled. And that's how it starts.
Some games I'm okay with that. Like a goofy comedy game, give me the dub. But like other games with a bit more of a serious push to them, please, for the love of fuck's sake, do not give me a dub.
Yeah.
Usually it just doesn't fit most of the time.
It depends. Like, being at set in Tokyo, modern day Tokyo, and you're playing a Japanese guy,
want a Japanese voice. Yeah,
it sort of fits in. Yeah. If it's a Japanese made game, but it's a fancy game and no one's and whatever, then it doesn't worry me because you know it's not the thing.
Yeah, same kind of groove. It's like when I play, for example, Hyper Dimension Neptunia, I can't get on with the Japanese voice cast. They're fine. They're fine, but the jokes don't really hit home as much.
No.
Because I have to read them. It's like, you know, I'm giving the jokes a bad read, as it were.
You miss the timing, don't you? You don't get any timing of the jokes.
And then, but then when I play games like Yakuza, I have to have that all Japanese.
Makes sense to stay in Japan.
I couldn't give a shit about the English voice cast. Straight away, Japanese with subs, rocking.
Yeah, it does have problems doing because KK will talk to you for as you're going around. He'll chat to you, so if you see things, he'll say talk to you and so forth, which is fine most of the time, unless you're on a boss battle and he then tells you how to defeat the boss, and you're trying to read the subtitles while you're looking out, going, okay. So it's like that really could have been not very helpful. That was in a cutscene. That'd be really helpful.
Yeah.
I was a bit worried at first because the first segment of the game is very cutscene heavy. You know, like there's a phase where in games where you like walk 10 feet, cutscene, walk 5 feet, cutscene, walk another 2 feet, cutscene, walk 11 feet, cutscene. This game starts off a bit like that. I was getting a little bit worried. Well, this is not going to just keep giving me cutscenes, but no, that disappears fairly quickly. That's only for the first bit.
And the Kojima effect.
Yeah, that very quickly just says, right, you've walked 2 more feet. Here's another hour-long cutscene for you. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why can't you just let me do that as the player?
Yeah.
Don't show it. let me do it.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that. They'll have a friendly sort of like, he'll sort of comment on how you do things. So when you get into a fight, if you absolutely muller them, he'll go like, you're well done. You're doing, you've really come along. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And, or if you get like, if you get killed, he says, I'm like, oh, he says, like, oh, you're my last charge, you idiot.
thanks, man. Motivation talk. Love that.
Yeah. So, because obviously initially they're a bit antagonistic towards each other. But as time goes on, they sort of like get to know each other and they become quite friendly with each other and so forth. And he obviously, he sort of like knows about the sort of spirit world and stuff. Him and the group mates are basically like their version of the private version of the X-Files, you know, not government drugs, and it's all like their own little thing he was working with. So your alliance trying to stop this guy. So you basically, it's an open world game, but you have to, most of the world initially starts covered in this fog. To clear fog, you have to go to Tori gates, which those what I call, we see those gates you see around Japanese shrines and stuff, you know, it's all like the all the curved top.
Yeah.
You have to cleanse those, and cleansing those clears the fog. What is a bit interesting is when other sort of games where you have this sort of like, you know, capture a radio tower, capture this.
Yeah.
Normally, you can go to those in any order. This one, there is sort of a set order because you can't get to some of the gates straight away unless you cleanse the other ones first because they're in the fog. And when you cleanse, and then you unlock like sort of like missions and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask because you said it was open world, was it? But is it because how well does it like hold your hand to guide you to where you need to go, kind of thing? Or does it?
There is also a main story thread which is pretty heavily guided. And it's fairly early after like the initial sort of chapter. It's obvious where you go because literally there's a bright fucking light telling you where to go in the sky.
Yeah, sure.
It's fairly well guided, but it's like you can do it at your own pace. There's no sort of, you know, you could get a lot of shit done. Different sub side missions will unlock each chapter. They're not all available at once straight away.
Sure.
My issue with the side missions is most of the side missions are very, are basically, you know, in Cyberpunk, you have those fixer missions that are basically like a little distraction to take you about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Most side missions are like that. They're literally like a 5 minute side mission. Some of them are there to introduce new mechanics. So, for example, there are these, what do you call the demons again? Sorry?
Yokai.
Yokai. So, for example, there are different yokais that you can hunt on the map. And if you hunt them and purge them, you get this like extra sort of like spit, sort of, you know, the yin and yang.
Yeah.
But you get half one of those sort of as a pickup, and that's used as part of your leveling
system. Like a stone.
Yeah, that's used as part of your leveling system. They call
it like a Magatama.
That's it. That's them. That's what they call them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, imagine like a teardrop shape, like half of a yin and yang.
Yeah.
Symbol.
Yeah. I'm glad Wilson knows about Japanese.
I used to wear one all the time.
Yeah. So you unlock those, and they come of old. I'll get onto the sort of skill system there, but they are important skill. And you can only get those by purging these yokai.
Yeah.
So he basically, they're like some sort of side missions basically introduce each of the yokai types initially. The ones you've introduced, then you know they basically teach you how to deal with them, how to hunt them and find them, and then you'll come across them later on and you'll know what to do. Most of them are like, oh no, because basically you're talking to like spirits that can't move on.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, oh no, my dog was around here. I can't see him. You walk 6 feet. There's a dog. Feed him some food. I can move on now. Bye. That's what most of the side missions are like. There are some that are a little more in depth that work better. I'm of the opinion that I'd rather have a game with less side missions, but that each side mission is quite in depth. So again, using Cyberpunk as an example, the fixed contracts weren't really side missions. They were just a thing to do. But the actual side missions, most of them were pretty meaty. Yeah. Most of them, like, at least half hour. Some were, like, a couple hours long to do them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty meaty. I'd much rather have fewer, but more involved, more meatier ones.
Yeah. No, I get that, because they have the same kind of thing in games like Ghost of Tsushima and that, where you know, some of them might branch off into their own little, like, storyline.
Mm.
But a majority of them are just like little throwaway quests. Pick this up, go over there, kill this thing. And it's just like, whilst that's nice, you're giving me something to give me increased experience points.
Yeah.
They're kind of annoying, because after a while, it's like, oh, it's one of those icons, leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't really have... I mean, you unlock what you get from the side missions, you get experience points sometimes. Mm. If awards vary. Yeah. You get money, which is like ghost money you can get. You can also get... but one thing you do get off them is souls. Now, like all these games, there's collectibles, and one of the things you can collect are souls. They're spread all over Tokyo, and they're like these floating... bodies that sort of float thing. They're basically these are people who've been caught in the fog, and if you capture if you sort of absorb their souls, you then go to a telephone which is modified by a chap called Ed that allows you to transfer the souls through the phone to him on the outside, and he can like put them back into his like reform people's bodies on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, these people have been like killed by this mystical thing. You're basically saving their lives and saving them, getting them put back into humans. In the game, base game, there are 240,000 to collect. So now, to switch on that, most of the time when you pick souls up, you'll get around 100.
Oh, sure. Sometimes okay.
you'll get around 100. Sometimes it'll be like sort of like low 90s, but sometimes it'll be a little bit higher. But they're generally around 100 souls you'll pick up. It seems to be randomized. And the side missions tend to give you more. So a side mission might give you 750 souls.
Yeah.
You may also get more through... there's like occasionally these sort of visitors will... They're like these sort of like cubes. So they basically capture the souls, and these souls get sent towards the underworld. Mm-hmm. And they'll have these... And they'll basically start capture souls, and you basically can go and... If you sort of like kill the visitors and release them... You can collect the souls, and generally you'll get like 200 to 300 per cube, but you don't count those very often. And they're then a set metric. So currently, I have collected just over 120,000 souls in the game. So, but I'm just over halfway there, collecting souls. And basically, I'm just sort of like, I'm not sort of going out of my way to find them. I'm like, if I'm past, because you've got like a spectral vision, which I used to see. Otherworldly thing, so you can see souls, you can see...
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't there like a detective-y kind of bit to it?
Yeah.
I think that's maybe what I gleaned from the like that vision you have, that like you see things kind of out of the ordinary that you wouldn't normally see.
So you can see... You'll
guide
see,
you along a path.
Yeah, so it will show you... Basically, it shows you anything of point of interest. It'll show you collectibles, it will show you... visitors, you can see visitors and sort of like, so you can sort of like know to avoid them and sneak up on them. It will also show where souls are. Later on, you'll pick up an upgrade which will actually see where soul, which will guide you like further range of the souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I would basically, rather than sort of actively hoovering them up, I saw like, as I saw, if I saw scan and saw them, I'd go grab them as I went past. And you can pretty quickly rip them up if you do that. You know, I've been actively hunting for them. But I'm sort of like, oh, I'm hanging there. Oh, there's a pile of souls there. I'll grab those on my way past. Because, of course, it goes vision. Because I am doing my usual thing where I sort of like work through every area and pick up everything before I move on.
Yeah, I get you. Because
you know what I'm like.
Yeah, so, I tried that recently with Final Fantasy 15. I went back through Final Fantasy 15 and I realized that a majority of my playtime was doing side quests. So by the time I got to the actual story, I was over like 20 levels stronger than the end boss anyway. So
well, I'm now in chapter 4, so 6 chapters. I'm now in chapter 4 and I think max level's 50 and I'm level 43.
Oh, there you go.
I think max level's 50, I believe. I don't know if it is. The reason I'm basing that is that there's an achievement when you get to level 50, there's none after that. So I suspect that's top level, but whether you can go after, I don't know. But yeah, it's it's interesting. So combat wise, so you've got your sort of like ghost powers. You can also, so the basic way a fight happens is you have to deal damage to these visitors, and then eventually, as they deal damage, you'll see like their bodies start to disintegrate and it'll expose their core. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to actually take out. Now, you can destroy a visitor by just putting enough damage on them. If you do enough damage to them, you'll take them out and destroy them. But generally, you'll expose their core and you can, at range, grab it. Now, the grab mechanic, basically, as many exposed cores as there are, you'll grab at once. So if you get, like, I mean, my record is five. Five visitors at once, all got cores exposed. I was able to grab all of them and pull them all in. You can do it at range, but it takes a few seconds to do it at range. And you can be interrupted while you're doing it. So if another damage causes any damage to you, you get interrupted. And those spirits gain some health. So you sort of puts you back a bit. Sure. So every time you want to attack one, you need to think about, just, you know, you need to be careful about thinking about when you're going to do it.
Yeah, crowd control.
Yes. If you are up close, you can also, if you damage, and some of these are also upgrades, I will just say, some of these are upgrades, but you can get them very early on. If you're up close, you can basically like jump in and grab their orb, like hand on the orb directly and take it, whip it out. That can't be interrupted.
So just as a note, because you said how you can do multiples, is that an upgrade to like a base skill? So when you start, you can only maybe do one at a time, or can you always do just the full?
You can always do the full. I may expose you can do them.
Okay.
But the grabbing the spirit from the thing, I think that's a skill you have to unlock.
All right.
And you can unlock skills to speed that up and so forth. You can also, if you sneak up on a visitor, you can do a quick purge where literally you basically jump up and take them out. So you can do sort of stealth kills on them, as it were.
That's neat.
Other upgrade is you can basically, if you're up high, you can do like a sort of a jump from above attack and kill. You can also like sort of latch on, target them and fly down and kill them straight away. So you can sort of do like sort of stealth takedowns from above. The combat system, I first thought was going to feel quite limited, but after fact, it gets complicated enough to make it fun. So switching between different, because it hasn't got many powers, they're all quite distinct to what they do and they're all useful in different ways. Mm-hmm. So you will find yourself switching between them. You know how a lot of games, you end up realistically, this game's got 10,000 guns in it. You only use three of them.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you may have some people might prefer a shotgun or assault rifle, but you're going to end up with basically like a default loadout that everybody's going to end up using.
Yeah.
Because this game hasn't got that, and each skill is sort of has each different things, and so each skill has, you know, by default they have quite low ammunition. I think the fire skill's only got five rounds by default.
Sure.
You can upgrade that. There's like these spirit shrines. If you go pray to them, they increase ammo capacity by one, and mm-hmm. they'll do different ones as well. So not all get, oh, your air's been increased by one, or your fire gets increased by one. Not all of them get increased by one.
Quick question.
Yes.
So I've just had a look on Steam. Have you played the Ghostwire Tokyo Prelude, or is that you just
no
played the base game?
Played the base game.
Okay. Cool. So, just in case you didn't know, there's a prelude on Steam for free.
Oh, I might pick that up.
Sure.
Sorry. Yeah, so that's, the other sort of powers you get later on, so you unlock a bow quite early on, and the bow is your only sort of like proper long-range stealth weapon. If you get a visitor in the head, most visitors will get killed. There's lots of different types of visitors. Most will get killed.
When you shoot a school child in the head.
You can't shoot them in the head. They haven't got one. You shoot them sort of like, if they're quite low, you shoot them sort of like anywhere, they die pretty much. They're unaware.
You shoot them in the stump.
Yeah, they don't die. It's not even a stump, it's just a hole in there. It's like their uniform is hollow.
Mate.
Yeah. So you basically, sort of a headshot. So that's basically your stealth kill version of that. I will say the hitbox of headshots is quite generous.
All right.
It's pretty generous. There was one bit where I'm running literally for my, there's a bit where I was running and I literally, guy appeared in front of me, I literally pulled the bow and fired and managed to get a headshot. Like I'm not that skilled.
Should be a professional Counter-Strike player. Yeah.
It's like, no, there's no way I'm that skilled. That was quite a generous hitbox. There's loads of enemy types in here. Some of them sort of vary the theme. So like visitors is like the base sort of the rain walkers, which is the guy in the suits. You'll get like you get ones who have like knives. You'll get like a police version. You've got like a baton, which they're quite fast. You get ones that are like really fat and chunky, take a lot of damage. They're quite efficient, but there's just one massive guy who walks around with a massive hammer in his hand and sort of wonks you with it. Other nice little feature, actually, your health. Your health increases every... So you eat food to recover health, and every time you eat food, your health goes up by 0.4%.
Oh, there you go.
So the more you heal yourself, the higher your health goes. Your max health goes. Yeah. And it goes up every time you level up.
Oh, cool.
So my health is now 206% what it was originally.
This is a random note. Is that one of those games that also kind of like boost based stats based on how and like what skills you use, or is it just...
So not so much building. So your base stats don't really have any base stats. Your skills, you must have some, because you pick up things. This now, your weapon now does 40% extra damage. What was it at first? I don't know. Enemies, I will say actually, enemies are pretty tough. Even your base level Rainwalker, you're not taking, unless you get them stealth, you're not taking them out in one hit. Your wind power, they take generally two fully charged wind shots, like as in charge up wind shots, plus a couple of non-charged ones to take them out or expose their core. So your enemies are quite tough, so you can't just like headshot, 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 headshot. You're not going to be doing that. And actually, at most, you can carry 20 arrows. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be doing that. So actually, you'll save those for like when it counts, or when you're not going to waste them on like just normal general fighting. You'll save them for like when you're stealthing, because it's just not worth losing them otherwise. So fights, when you get like an arena, you are constantly sort of like trying to keep track of where everybody is, because it's like, okay, I'm not going to instantly kill those. I mean, your fire one will take them out in one hit, because it's more like it's supposed to rocket launcher, isn't it? But most enemies are surprisingly tough, and the higher level ones you encounter, of which is that there's loads of types in there to deal with. There's so many visitor types. There are some which are quite creepy. But they're just absolute loads. They're all really strange looking and so forth. Some, like, there's like one which is like a load of arms with knives that fly out and so forth. It's really weird. It's quite neat. So the other thing you get in combat is you have these talismans. And you're on those, I say quite late on. Given that I tend to hoover up things, it's actually quite early on you unlock them. But I tend to do a lot of stuff first before I get there. So if you find the actual main storyline mission, you unlock them pretty fairly. So I think that you unlock them in chapter 3.
Right.
And they basically, talismans are a bit like a area effect thing that you place on the ground. So some you might use out of combat. So there's one that's like a wind one, which you place on the ground. It basically creates an updraft wind. You can jump in to help you get up somewhat higher than you normally do. You can also have ones which... Like, if a low-level enemy will be stunned in it, if they walk into it, they get stunned, so you can then sneak up and, like, purge them. Sure. You've got ones that constantly replenish your ether, which is what you use to get your ammunition back. Oh, interesting about your ammunition, as it were. You only get ammunition back by defeating enemies, or you'll find, like, these weird sort of, like, strange things that sort of cross into our dimension for the spirit realm, which you can destroy and get ammunition back that way. But it's very hit and miss what you get. So you can't, like, so far, most things don't seem to guarantee a certain type of ammunition. Apart from the only one that I know guarantees it, there's like these, if you find something like a ghost gas canister and you break that, that'll give you some fire ammo. But other than that, it's very random which it gives you. So that's it. So you can't go buy ammunition. You have to.
So it's encouraging you to stay in combat, kind of like when glory kills were introduced in stuff like 40K Space Marine.
Yeah.
The idea being is to you know, if you hide, your stuff ain't coming back. You have to get in there and.
And if you go in, and it's also encouraging you to charge up your powers. Because if you just, your power, like your wind power, is not that damaging, it takes a lot of hits uncharged to destroy an enemy, and you won't get enough ether back from them to use to counter it. Sure. So you need to basically, and because it takes you a couple of seconds to charge up a power, you need to basically, you can't just spam enemies. You can't just do it. You have to sort of like concentrate and sort of plan your attacks almost, as it were.
So potentially, like, I always say that, say Doom Eternal is a first-person puzzle arena game. I didn't like Doom Eternal's combat. Like, so in regular Doom, you just run around, you blow people up, great. You can use whatever gun that works, right? In Doom Eternal, you have to shift between, which weapons you use. Do you want to then use, the chainsaw to get ammo back, I think there might be like a flamethrower or something to get like armor back. And like you have to juggle between the three to actually make sure that you have enough to keep combat going or.
Not to that extent.
Right. So what you're saying is it's potentially Doom Eternal, but fun.
Yeah, it's not quite that anal, like, oh, I need to use my chainsword now. Because when you destroy an enemy, you'll get ammunition back. You know, it doesn't.
By default.
It becomes situational. Like, the fire one, I'm at a stage now where I've got quite a few in reserve, so I can afford to, like, spend it all on a boss because it's most damage. But, like, I'm not going to waste a shot of fire when there's only one guy in front of me or one visitor in front of me. I'll wait as a group, and I'll try and sort of, like, kite them around an arena so there's, like, they sort of group together so I get the maximum damage. Because if I do it right, they all get damaged at the same time, the same rate. They all have their core exposed, so I can drain all of them out in one go.
Yeah.
So most fights do end up in an arena circling around constantly, sort of drawn, but you just have to be a little bit, oh, I've got incoming shots coming my way. I won't charge up yet. I'll get and position myself better and then charge up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, I will say you can move while charging up, so it doesn't hurt you, but you don't want to stand there and move. So you need to sort of like keep moving and so forth. But in general, I wouldn't say combat is that sophisticated. It's in terms of it, you can just sort of like back away, charge up, shoot, back away, charge up, shoot. Where it gets dangerous is if you're near an area that's fog, because if you walk into the fog, you'll die very quickly. So you need to sort of like plan a little bit, and you still want to walk around a corner to another group of visitors and have to encounter them. So there is some there, but I wouldn't call it particularly tactful. Most of my fights come down to keeping my distance, crowd control, monitoring whereby sometimes the enemies will try and surround you. Mm-hmm. And they will try and do sort of clever techniques on you to try and get around you. So you are sort of thinking about and switch the right separate, okay, like that range and everything, I'll switch to my close-up water weapon to fire them off. Oh, there's a group there. I'll fireball into that group there. Oh, they're far away. I'll use my wind power because it's got the most shots in it, so I'll use that as much as I can. So it is quite a tactic. It is. I wouldn't say there is tactics to it, but they're not in-depth tactics to it. Talismans, I find I don't use very. I have used them a few times. I don't generally use them very much. Talismans are one of the things you can buy from shops. So, in the game, shops are won by. You're going to have to help me out here again. It's a cat with two tails. It's like a. Basically, apparently, if a cat lives very old, it becomes a yomikai. And it gets two tails and becomes sentient and basically likes to run a shop. So you'll come across it and it was like, and it'll basically say, and it'll say things like, yes, I would like to help Moo, but I've got a business to run. And they'll sit there, they sit there sort of like sort of hovering in there and sort of smiling at you and looking very smug with themselves, as a cat would. And they'll then sell you like arrows and talisman and food, stuffs and so forth. There are like non-version of those cats in the game. So the fog only affected humans. So you'll come across cats who you can, and you can read thoughts of animals, and you can chat the cats. Some of them are quite sad. It's like, I can't find my mum anymore. She's disappeared. Where's she gone?
Mm.
And some are like, what's happened? And one's like, yes, the humans are gone. We take over now.
Little bastard.
Yeah. There's also, but there's dogs as well. There's all Shinaibu dogs in there as well.
I love those.
They are sweet, aren't they? I would love one of them. And
I've wanted one for years and years and years. Yeah. But
they scream apparently though. They don't sort of bite.
So
scream.
Do children.
Yeah, but the children aren't as cute. And
it's true.
And basically, if you find the dogs, you can read their minds. They'll sort of like say something to you. And if you give them food, they'll lead you somewhere, dig up some money for you, and dig you up
I
money.
I like them.
Yeah,
I like them even more.
Yeah. So the dogs are handy, and some dogs will lead you to like demons. Some will like lead you to other places and show you stuff and stuff. So the dogs are helpful. The dogs are very unlike the cats, which just sort of just talk to you and criticize you. Dogs are actually helpful. So skills, so leveling, how leveling works. So you get experience points for defeating enemies. You get experience points for transmitting souls. You get some experience points for doing missions occasionally, but generally you get the souls, which gives you experience points anyway.
Yeah.
So skills work. It's a very similar skill tree. You'll see you unlock skill points and you unlock abilities. Very straightforward. What is slightly interesting, some of these abilities will be gated behind these. What was the thing you said? What did you call it? The one with the yin yang?
The Megatama.
Megatama. So some will some high level skills will be gated by these Megatamas. And the only way to get those is by purging Yamakai. So you have to find these Yamakai and purge them, and then you don't count many of them. They are not randomized, they are placed. So you have to go find them and they don't appear straight away. So that is until you unlock more areas of the map, you won't get those very quickly. But yeah, unlocking those will allow you to basically unlock powers and upgrade and get to like the sort of top tier powers. So it's sort of a two tier approach to it, which is a bit neat because it does sort of like make you have to go do extra things to unlock him. And some skills don't get unlocked until you reach certain levels. The skills that they unlock, I don't think are particularly useful. There's they basically allow you to like your wind power, for example. They basically let you turn to like a machine gun. And so you can charge up and then push another button and it becomes like this rapid fire wind power but keeps using ammunition every shot. Sure. That's just a way to burn through what you don't have a lot. I mean, even now, I've been playing the game now 30-odd hours. I've been going to lots of shrines and stuff. I've still only got 43 rounds of wind ammunition. I can burn through that really quickly. I'm not going to do that. So
what you're saying is they could be useful, but they're not necessary.
No, I don't. I've not bothered a lot. I've tried them a couple of times. And they feel wasteful. Because sure, the wind one as well is it's like a machine gun, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So your reticle like is big, so it's not like it's like directed stuff. So it's like this is just, and also it's such a faff to use it. You have to charge up first and then press another key to use it. Okay. And it's like this is less useful than the normal like fire attack, which is more accurate. Bit slower firing, but it's more accurate, so I can hit more things more rapidly. And given how ammunition, if I'm not careful, I can use that very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine like saying, "Oh, we've given you this upgrade to your gun, which is sort of like a single semi-automatic gun. You only get one magazine of ammunition in it. Oh, here's an upgrade that turns into a machine gun. You still only got the one magazine though.
Yeah,
it's not useful. Mm. It's not useful. The fire one as well, like." Creates like a stream of fire that constantly burns through your energy. Well, I've only got 12.
Yeah.
So I don't see the point of them. I've tried them. They feel very wasteful and I'm not even bothered unlocking them.
Sure.
Upgrading them because it just seems absolutely pointless. Maybe if I ever have made points to spare.
This is going to be one of those games that has like a new game plus then where you could go through with those skills and then actually
I believe it does. Okay. I believe it does. We've talked skills, talked missions, we've talked combat. I think we've covered dogs and cats, they're important. Shops. Yeah, I think we've covered pretty much everything.
A question, Ryan.
Yes?
How does it run on your machine? Because I've heard this was quite a hog.
I think it was at first. I think they patched it.
Okay. It's compatible with Steam Deck, I think. I'm just going to quickly check that just to be...
It's a Unreal Engine 4, so it's not... actually, it runs fine. There's a couple of bits where I've had a little bit of stutter, but in general, it's been more than playable.
Oh, yeah, because you're rocking around a 1070, aren't you? Yeah, you said you had an i7 7700. Yeah, you're sat on the recommended.
Yeah, it plays mostly fine. There are a couple bits where... The draw distance, like there's a bit where there's, I got to a bit where there's like this big forest, and if I look at the forest, which is quite a long way away, you can, I do get a bit of stutter because also it's quite a long draw distance. Where most time when you're in a city,
yeah, sure,
you're seeing buildings in front of you, so you actually don't draw that far. So, so yeah, I actually, it has to, I've not actually gone and put an FPS counter to have a look. Mm-hmm. But it runs okay. It runs. I've not had any major issues with it. Sure. I was actually, when I thought I'd play it, I was sort of like wondering if it was actually going to run very well at all. But I was,
well, see, that's what I thought, because I was under the impression that game is a monster on launch, because a lot of people are like, oh mate, this game, it looks great but it plays like ass, kind of like another one of those like cyberpunk moments where we were kind of pushing the end of hardware. Yeah. I was like, but a lot of people have that kind of hardware, what are we going to do, kind of thing.
But then I went cyberpunk fine. I was also, I didn't try, yeah, to do something stupid like streaming it.
Yeah,
it ran, sure,
yeah,
it sure, ran, sure, fine.
Yeah,
so I'm, plus I'll, next time I play it, I'll load an FPS counter and have a look and see what's doing.
Yeah, I mean, because it will run on, because I just had a look, it is verified for Steam Deck, and Steam Deck's verification only requires 30 FPS at 720p. So,
yeah,
you know, if it runs on the deck and people are okay to play it on the deck, then most PCs can play it. But I was like, ooh, that was quite a heavy one,
yeah,
when it came out.
I'll load up for FPS and I'll get back to you on what it's running at.
Cool.
But yeah, it's definitely some bits where it's hogs. There's also one thing I should mention. Once you get through level 3, it's chapter 3, you unlock what's called the Spider's Thread update. Spider Thread was a patch they put out this year, and it added basically another game mode, which is basically like a sort of a rogue, not really a roguelike, sort of a dungeon crawler mode, where you have to go through 20 levels, and if you die, you get back to level 1.
Oh, okay.
But it's not sort of roguelike in a sense proper. It's more of a rogue. It's, you sort of carry over sort of abilities and so forth.
Roguelite.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe the levels are pretty much fixed. The only thing it did add as well, added in some new enemy types, added some new gates, and added in a new mission, which is set in a school. And that school mission is how all the side missions should have been. Because it's fairly, you basically go to a little locked off. When you start it, you go to the area, gets locked off. It says to you, right, when you start this mission, you can't count them out until you finish it.
Sure.
And you play a sort of locked off mission in this area. And it's interesting. It's got enough sort of stages and steps and stuff. It's interesting enough to make it a point, sort of like 45 minute out experience to do like the first part. There's like a second part as well you can do as well. That is how all the side missions should have been. That is like, this is what you should have done for your side mission, because it's actually fun and interesting.
Is that the last of the content then, or are they going to bring any more out?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's the last of it.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming so. I don't know. There's not really been much content, from what I understand, released for. I think it's pretty much like it's done type thing.
Okay.
But I have to say, it's not as good as Cyberpunk. In the same, it's not sort of the same, but it's a pretty solid, you know, RPG like action adventure game. I like the characters. I actually quite enjoy the combat, although it can get a bit samey sometimes.
Yeah.
But in general, I quite enjoy the sort of like bouncing around. It keeps me on my toes a little bit. In fact, the only times I've died in the game have been in regular combat. I've not died in the boss battles. The boss battles, actually, the first boss battle was just a do damage. The second one, however, was a boss battle, which because I'm not a fan of boss battles in general, unless they are, the trick to defeat them is actually using a certain strategy. And the strategy isn't, I wait for an attack. It's like, oh, I need to sneak around, do this, exploit this weakness and so forth. That's all ones I enjoy, the ones that require you to actually do and solve certain tasks rather than just like, just shoot him loads of times. I don't like those sort of boss battles, but the boss battles have been sort of like a bit more fair. The second one I played was quite fun.
I will say I kind of get a bit aggro when I get held back in a boss fight. It was like, oh, you know, oh no, you can't do damage until you go and like hit this trigger that's on the map or whatever, or in the arena, which then triggers another event, which then makes them weak. It's like those kind of things really get on my tits after a while.
Yeah. So the second boss battle, basically, you have to. It's like you can't fight this one head on. You're not going to be able to. But it's got like 3 weak points. If you sneak up to it and like purge it 3 times, you win. There's no like damage, so it requires a little bit of thinking and so forth. I want you to have to think a little bit about it, and the map sets up so you can actually sort of like you're not sort of like run and gun rush. Oh shit! I need to run, react. No, I can actually sort of think about what I'm doing, sneak up and plan it and so forth. I like those sort of boss battles you can plan and do stuff. If I had to give it a, I don't really do ratings, but I was going to give rate. If I say this is probably a pretty solid 7 out of 10.
So would you say, right, better gauge, sale game or not?
Yes, sale game.
Sale game, okay. Heavy discount or just...
Well, I got mine through Humble Bundle. That was last time. So I don't know what it's at the moment. Let's look to its store. I'm going to
about 50 quid, I think.
Yeah, 25 quid I'd pay for it. I'd pay 25. Quid for it. Yeah. I'd pay 25. 30 quid, I'd pay that for it.
Sure.
There's just it's fun, it's enjoyable. There's just a few things that it could have done better.
Sure.
It's got a bit too. I mean, although I'm not finding the collectible too much, it's got a lot of collectibles in it. I mean, I mentioned the souls, but there's also graffiti to collect. There's also mission logs to collect. There's also whatever random things. Photograph points to collect as well. Lots of things to collect and. It's a bit too much for me. I because it's like, oh, it's another thing I've got to keep track of. Because when I play sort of games, my sort of OCD part of me won't allow me to not do it.
Yeah.
So I can't go to the end mission. Why are you spending 10 hours in this game? You've not got, and the end mission sat there waiting to go. I can't do it because I do it, I won't have collected everything in time.
No, so I get exactly how you feel on that one, mate. Yeah. I totally get you.
Yeah, and particularly now, I don't mind it in games like the Far Cry games, which basically say, "Yeah, you know, credit you want. Here's a picture of it on the map, so you know where it is." I don't mind that so much when it actually just tells you where the collectible is and you just go do it. I actually like that. This game doesn't. Yeah. You have to find them unless you do what I do, which is have a map next to me because I'm not doing that. I want the credit thing, but by shit, am I not going to try and find it myself?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk about the beads. The beads.
The beads.
The bees are not the bees. So one other thing you get is you've got characters got customization. You can like dress them up and different and so forth. Different clothes and stuff. That has zero effect on the game. It's purely cosmetic, but your character does appear like that in the cutscene. So I put my character with this weird head hat, which is basically a UFO adopting a cow. And it wasn't until I got to the shop, the next cutscene was this really deeply serious cutscene, and he just sat there with this UFO floating over his head. It's like
the best way.
I need to change that. I need to change that. So I did change that after that because I just couldn't put up that. But other than that means nothing. But you do get these beads, and these beads you can unlock up to 3, 2 from your skill points, 1 with this Matara unlock, and then another skill upgrade. And beads basically are actual upgrades for you. So you can have I've got one that basically upgrades my wind damage, which means I have a big curry. Upgrades my archery damage and also will locate souls within 100 meters of me. It'll actually like draw me a direction to them. That's sort of like the sort of last thing to mention of that sort of like upgrades I forgot to mention, so just quickly put that in there. But yeah, it's definitely definitely a sale. I would say pick up on a sale. I'm now, according to Steam, my playtime is 32.6 hours.
Well, just as a note, if anyone's interested, you can buy, if you don't mind searching around, you can actually get the game for as little as, like, just the base game for as little as about £7.
Oh, wow, there you go. There you go. Yeah, definitely worth £7, 100%. 100%. 100%. Yeah, it's...
I know what I'll be buying after this podcast.
Yeah, it is... yeah, as I said, it's no side pump, but it's still got, it's got its merits. Sure. It's but yeah, so I mean, I'm about 3 hours in. I'm halfway cleared the souls. I'm now sort of like game four, chapter four. I've done all the side missions that have come off, done them all. I've picked up most sort of other sort of collectible quests. I'm at a stage where like, it's been a long time since I've had a game, which I just want sort of like, as soon as I finish like tragedy, I want to just launch up and play it. And I think the last game that was like that for me was Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
This to me, this is my next, it's not as good as Cyberpunk, but it's my next Cyberpunk because it's the game I just want to sit down and just play it. And I will still play it for 8 hours. I don't mind.
When I first saw Ghostwire, I was like, oh, I really want to play this. But I was like, I don't want to pay that much money for it. Mm. You know, but I could see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. There aren't many games which I'll sit and play for hours upon hours and hours, but this is that category. Like I said, I've been on holiday this week, so literally it's been sat. As soon as I've fed everything, I've been getting the gate, sit down, PC on, Ghostwire gets loaded up, and I'll just play morning into the evening, just playing it. Yeah. And there's, I think Cyberpunk was the last game that made me want to do that. Literally just load it up and just play it for hours on end. And wanted to explore. I'm also like the fact that I like the atmosphere of the game. Choco is very eerie. I don't know much about Japanese folklore, so I'm learning a lot about it and I find it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know other games have explored it before. I've not played many games. I think the last game I know of that explores it quite in depth was Omnimission, that explored Japanese folklore quite in depth.
Yeah. Omnimission Warlords, yeah.
Yeah. So I've enjoyed it for that regards because it's allowed me to see a sort of a whole culture I didn't really understand. So I've enjoyed it for that as well. I found it a good learning experience. So yeah, I have to say I've had great fun.
Cool.
So recommendation for me. Right. So anything else from you, Scars?
That's it, mate. I'm now going to go and buy Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, I've pretty much rabbited on about that enough.
Good job,
so,
man.
So yeah, so thank you very much, Robo, who's watching us this evening. You can join us on our next podcast. He says very quickly, look at the date on his screen, on the 12th of. I should remember that because I was looking at that date the other day. On the Saturday, the 12th of August, here GMT plus one. Height of British summer, so we're probably all sweltering. You can try and join us for that on that at 9:30 on youtube.com/randnerds or twitch.tv/randnerds. You can also check up our next games night, which will be this Wednesday, the 2nd of August at 8:30. You can check my Twitch team at twitch.tv/thesuffolkram.
And I'm twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
And we are going to take on Demio's final boss again and die again.
Most likely. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. We might defeat it, but we haven't played it now in 4 weeks, so we're going to be really rusty again.
If we keep talking positive, we're just going to keep losing. So just give up, and then, you know, we'll surprise ourselves.
So you're saying we need to reverse psychology of the game?
Yes.
Oh, Scouts, we're fucked. We ain't going to win this one.
No chance, mate.
Absolutely fucked. We ain't going to pass fucking floor one. Not going to happen.
We're fucking done, son.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Yeah. What I might say, if we do get to the final boss and we are quite well set up, fucking save the checkpoint. Just save it. Just save it. And if we die, we'll just reload it again. They'll never know. They'll never know. I edit it. They'll never know.
They'll never know.
Yeah. Hey, but what did he mean he referred to that they tried to fight him 10 minutes ago and it didn't go well? What do they mean?
First try.
First try, yeah. I'll delete all the other videos off the channel. I don't know what you mean. This is the first
time. Well, mate, this was mechanically well easy, weren't it? So obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. All you need is 6 adamantite cards each.
Yeah. Yes.
And you win. What's the problem there?
Stupid. An entire hand of invulnerability.
Yeah. So yeah, join us for that, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a fortnight. So for me, it's the Ram. See you later.
Skazi goes, see you. Maybe. He changed the outro. What a cunt.
Sorry, I lost track of what I was saying.